We're reading from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18 and finishing at verse 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
Good morning, everyone. If you've got a Bible or the passage there, then please keep it open so you can follow along. Let me pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to Christmas again. Father, we ask that you would give us peace. We ask you to bless this time as we listen to your word. We ask you to bless our hearts so that we would know Jesus better. Amen. Well, I wonder how your 2020 has been. You don't have to tell me now. I wonder how your Christmas is going so far. I know in our family we had sort of Christmas plans, and some of those have fallen through in the last week, and some of them looked like they were going to fall through, but they seem to have been resurrected at the last moment, so that's nice. I know there have been things that people were planning on doing that collapsed, and other things that we've had to do instead. And as we get to Christmas, which is usually a frantic time of the year, I think it's been a different kind of frantic for us. And of course, then you've got to make the decision, how am I going to fit Jesus into that frantic life? How am I going to find space for him? How does Jesus fit into your life? Our passage this morning tells us about Joseph's story, and it tells us how Jesus fitted into Joseph's story. But all through that little story, the story of Joseph, we see again and again how Joseph's story is lit up by the story of Jesus. So let's have a look. We start with an unexpected situation. It's not unexpected for us. We all know the Christmas story, but it was certainly a surprise for Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, marriages are pretty straightforward. You get engaged, you get married, you have kids, and you live happily ever after. That's how it works for everyone, right? Except these two have got engaged, and Mary's already pregnant. So something's happened out of order. That's the unexpected situation for Joseph. And we are told that this is from the Holy Spirit, but I'm pretty sure that's not how he heard that news. And Joseph's response to this unexpected situation demonstrates his character. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Okay? He's a righteous man. That doesn't mean he's got good PR and he keeps a really nice sort of demeanor. It means he does the right thing. And so, even though his situation was wrong, not only did he want to do the right thing, he actually wanted to be kind while he was doing it. He wanted to do it in a way that didn't hurt Mary back for how much he was hurting. And so he goes, all right, look, we'll handle it quietly. We'll go our separate ways and we can both start again. But then Joseph gets another surprise. After thinking through this unexpected situation, he gets an unexpected command. So verse 20, after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So God appeared, calling Joseph by his royal name, son of David, as if he's calling him to take a sword out of a stone or join some sort of grand adventure. And God says, don't be afraid, son of David. This baby is from the Holy Spirit. God is at work in Mary's body, and this is his will. Now, we'll come back soon to what that tells us about Jesus, but let's keep Joseph as our focus for now. And again, Joseph's response to this unexpected command shows his character. Joseph obeyed God. If you think about what Joseph is told to do and what he does, they match up. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Tick. She will give birth to a son. Verse 25 says, he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. Two ticks. And you are to give him the name Jesus. And he gave him the name Jesus. Three ticks. God told him to do something. He went ahead and did it. Now, don't be jealous of Joseph because he got guidance from God in a dream. Joseph is not sitting there going, oh, Lord, I just don't know. Should I buy the blue coat or the red coat for my fiancé for Christmas? I really need some guidance. And he goes to bed and God gives him the guidance. Yes, buy the blue one. It's not like that. He's already made his decision. He's made a good decision from his point of view. But then God has appeared to him and has said, Joseph, you need to do the exact opposite. Joseph made up his mind. He went to bed. He got up in the morning and went and did the exact opposite. He changed his life. He changed Mary's life. He changed the little baby's life because God told him to. That's Joseph, son of David. He's a decent man. He's a man of justice and of mercy. He's a man who obeyed God when it cost him to do it. He's a good man. Incidentally, he's the man that God chose to be the role model for Jesus. But the reason, the only reason that Joseph casts a shadow for us, the only reason we pay attention to Joseph and his life, is that there's a very bright light shining on Joseph. What matters about Joseph's life isn't how Jesus fits into Joseph's life, but it's how Joseph's life fits into Jesus and his story. So in verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Literally, he shone upon him in a dream. And when we look at the reasons why God says, Joseph, take Mary home, name this child Jesus, the reasons are all about who Jesus is and what he's going to be and do. Jesus is from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the answer to a real predicament. And Jesus is the answer, the fulfillment of a promise that God has already made. So first, the Holy Spirit. The Lord tells Joseph, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. Now, as we read the story, we already know, because we got told right at the start, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. We knew that. I don't think Joseph knew. And so you can see him wrestling with a decision, and you know that he's going to get this wrong. But then God comes and tells him this baby is from the Holy Spirit. And as we're kind of part of that decision, and as we hear that message again, this is important information. This is that moment in any story where somebody says, wow, well, that changes things. Perhaps even in this case, that changes everything. Because the God who made everything is at work here. He's making a little baby. In fact, he's making a new man. He's making him in Mary's body. He's still a human being, just like us. In fact, he's one of us. But also, he's the man who's going to bring in a new and better creation, a new and better world. This son will change everything. Now, second, Jesus is the answer to a predicament. Joseph is told to name this son Jesus because that means God saves. Name this son Rescuer because that's what he's going to do. He's going to save his people from their sins. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the verses before this in Matthew. Matthew starts his story, it's wonderful, with 18 verses of genealogy. Who got to read that? Dawn. Oh, Dawn's not with us this morning. Possibly she's still recovering from 18 verses of genealogy. But there were 14 generations of hope and of growth from the promises to Abraham all the way up to King David. God says he's going to bless us. God says he's going to make us great. And then he does. And there's the great kingdom. And then there's 14 generations of David's dynasty. All kings, all ruling in Jerusalem. And then it ends badly in exile. And there's 14 generations of just surviving and passing on the old stories and passing down the old names and the old promises because, well, their people missed their chance. Fancy telling your family history and saying, look, we could have been great. We were great, but our sin brought us down. The biggest man of substance in my family, as far as we're aware, owned a furniture shop in Adelaide. It's not exactly a heroic legacy, is it? I don't know. Do you have proud and noble forebears? Do you have great traditions that you're trying to live up to? Do you have a family that you're trying to build something for? That you want your children and grandchildren to have something better than what you did? Or are you bothered by me talking about family because, well, actually, it hasn't quite worked for you, or you're not quite sure how that's going to happen, and you don't know who will carry on your name and your memory. Or perhaps your family is broken or strained, and so Christmas is a bit tricky. And maybe the Christmas miracle for you is really just that everyone manages to sit in the same room for 3 hours and then go home without yelling at each other. Now, the Christmas miracle is Jesus. The Christmas miracle is Jesus, because Jesus is the Saviour. Jesus saves us from our sins. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved from your sins? Do we want to be saved from our missed chances and our stupid decisions and our hurtful moments and our bitterness and our rage and our despair? Do we want to be saved from generations of this? Do we want real hope at Christmas time? Well, in that case, we want to be one of Jesus' people, because Jesus saves his people from their sins. He changes everything. And Matthew says all of this happened to fulfill something that God had already said through his prophet. For those of you keeping score, it's the prophet Isaiah. You can go to Isaiah chapter 7 if you want to see the background. But Isaiah said, the virgin will be with child and will have a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And Matthew helpfully helps us out there. He says, that means God with us. So just as Joseph's actions matched what God told him to do, this whole story matches what God said he would do 800 years earlier. The virgin would be with child. That matches verse 18. And give birth to a son. And that happens in verse 25. And Matthew is saying, look at this unexpected fulfillment. God has upended the natural order. He's done the impossible to fulfill this promise. Before they came together, she was found to be with child. Joseph had no union with her before she had a son. the virgin became pregnant and had a son, and so people will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, as we get to know Jesus, more and more we get to know him as God with us. God is with us. God didn't leave us alone at Christmas time. God came to be part of a sinful, hopeless people. He came to be part of a domestic situation that was under a cloud. He came as a baby, and he depended on a single fallible man who was about to make the wrong decision because he couldn't see the big picture. God lived the life of a man in Judea 2,000 years ago. In fact, he didn't just live the life, he was a man in Judea 2,000 years ago. And it's not just true to say that he was a man then. No, he still is. Jesus Christ still sits at the right hand of God. When he'd done everything that he had come to do, when he had died for our sins, when he had risen to new life, as he was departing, he said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I am with you. See, because of Christmas, there's a man who hears your prayers, whether you say them out loud or whether you can't even quite say them in your heart. There's a man who hears your prayers and says to his Father, "You know, Father, you should listen. You should prioritize that." Because of Christmas, God knows your struggles and your temptations. Not just because he's God and he knows everything, but because he's one of us. He's lived our life. He knows it from the inside out. Because of Christmas, God is with us always to the end. Now, I asked earlier, how do you fit Jesus into your life? But really, we're like Joseph. It's actually better to ask, how does my life, how does my story fit into Jesus' story? Because Jesus is God with us. The more that we get to know Jesus, the Saviour, by reading about him, by talking to him, by living for him, by seeing him at work in the lives of people around us, by seeing him at work in our own lives, the more we get to know him, the more that we will know that God is with us in him. So get to know Jesus. And treasure Jesus. The reason that we have that baby in a manger kind of picture of Jesus is because babies are precious and babies are full of potential. Babies are to be treasured. There are some grandparents in the room here. I know there are some kids in the room here who are going to see their grandparents this afternoon. Grandparents treasure their babies, don't they? Partly because they get to hand them back at the end of the day. But babies are precious. Jesus is all the more precious. Not just as a baby, but as God with us who changes everything. So give Jesus his true value. Put him first. I don't know what you put first. Sometimes you may not know yourself what you put first. Often that's a good sign that you probably put yourself first. But we want to put Jesus first because Jesus is the real treasure of Christmas. He's the real gift of Christmas. He is the miracle of Christmas. So treasure Jesus. Put him first. Now, it was hard to feel the significance of Christmas yesterday morning as I was going from my third to my fourth shop, trying to find that last-minute gift for the person who's hard to shop for, knowing deep down that I'm probably the person who's hard to shop for, wearing four shops in the same single-use mask, because you're not really supposed to take them off and put them back on. One of the nurses in our congregation pointed that out to me. That was hard. But, you know, it's always hard to feel that significance when we're tired and we're just trying to do the right thing. How does Jesus fit into my life now? Because my life is a little story, and sometimes it doesn't feel like the things that I'm doing matter that much. And I don't think I'm alone in that. Because when I think about the ways that I waste time or the trivial things that I spend time on, when I think about millions of Australians who are just amusing ourselves, I have a book at home that I still haven't read that's called Amusing Ourselves to Death. Because how good is our technology? We can just keep amusing ourselves better and better and better as we get more and more depressed and anxious. Because we're not sure in the end if anything that we do really matters. We put a couple of months' work into getting ready for Christmas, and then at the last minute there's a COVID breakout and all the rules change. We plan a wonderful 2020, and then a pandemic hits from nowhere and everything falls apart. Joseph was just trying to do the right thing, but God shone on him and called him to do a better thing, a harder thing. God had already put Joseph into Jesus' story, and so Joseph had things to do. Everything that you do in obedience to God matters because it's part of the story of Jesus. Because you're part of the story of Jesus. So obey Jesus. Perhaps it doesn't matter some of our little choices, you know, do I wear the Space Invader socks or the hot dog socks? I got two different pairs of socks for Christmas. I'm wearing the Space Invader socks. I don't think that matters too much, but loving my family, that's really important. That's something God wants me to do. I need to obey Jesus in that. Doing the right thing, even when no one can see what I'm doing, that matters because it's what Jesus wants. And everything I do in obedience to him is part of Jesus' story, and it matters. It matters that you trusted God, like Joseph, when you couldn't see the whole picture. You matter, and your life matters, because you matter to God. You will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Merry Christmas.